And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
All right, welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, a.k.a. SEC Mike, joined by my cousin Shane Sheridan, big Tennessee Vol homer. How's it going, Shane?
Hey, buddy. Going good.
So we felt compelled to do another SEC Media Days podcast. Of course, Jeremy Pruitt spoke today. Nick Saban spoke. Barry Odom and Joe Moorhead. They were the four to go at SEC Media Days today. And, you know, we kind of touched on Aaron Murray's comments to close out yesterday's podcast. And I think we both kind of underestimated what a big deal that would become. And that really stole the show today at today's SEC Media Days. What were your thoughts on that?
I'll tell you what, that damn thing snowballed, didn't it? Either there's nothing to talk about down there or this is a big deal. You know, I was watching the SEC coverage and it had a – I can't remember who all was up there, but I do know David Pollack was up there. And what's the Alabama quarterback's name?
Greg McElroy.
Yeah, McElroy. And Pollack comes out and starts, you know, defending Aaron Murray and his comments and talking about just how bad and disrespectful Pruitt was down in Georgia. And I did like how Matt came out and he just kind of shut that down, says, what does that have to do with now? You know, I mean, he's a head coach now. He's not an assistant. It's not like he went for another assistant job.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep hearing all these comments about how bad Jeremy Pruitt was to, I mean, they make it sound like he banged his wife or something. So I don't – what exactly did he do that was so damn bad down there?
Well, from my understanding, you know, there's a rumor that he punched another coach. And from everyone that I spoke to down there in Georgia, that's not even true. That's just kind of what the rumors had escalated to. The story I'm told is that – so basically the staff was very divided at Georgia that last year under Mark Richt, and it was basically Mark Richt's guys on offense, Jeremy Pruitt's Georgia guys on defense. And, you know, they obviously Jeremy Pruitt had a big background from Alabama, so he was just trying to bring that Nick Saban tough-minded approach to Georgia, and it clashed with Mark Richt's style. And obviously, you know, the reason Mark Richt got fired wasn't because of Jeremy Pruitt. You know, I think that's kind of what David Pollack and Aaron Murray are, I wouldn't say they're insinuating it, but they certainly seem to have an axe to grind with Jeremy Pruitt. And I think it's obvious it's because they are former Richt players, but they got fired because Mark Richt's offense fell apart. And from what I know, all the Pruitt guys and all the defensive guys, you know, they created a lot of division in that locker room. Or the coaching staff, if you want to put it that way. And he, from what I know, Jeremy Pruitt did basically quit halfway through the season at one point. I think he basically cleared out his locker. Like I said, there was not a physical altercation to my knowledge, but he did say something that other coaches had to be held back from hitting him. That's the story that I've been told. So
from hitting Pruitt or from Pruitt hitting somebody?
I think from one of the offensive coaches from hitting Pruitt.
Oh.
So,
well,
and that's, you know, there's other rumors out there, you know, but I don't know any of those for a fact, so I'm not going to just kind of spill them out here, but that's the story as I know it. And obviously, you know, that you could say that played a big part in Mark Richt's demise, but ultimately it was his failed offenses, because that Georgia defense was arguably the best in the SEC that year. I believe they'd won nine or 10 regular season games. So the defense was doing its part, and now you got all these Richt players coming out. We touched on what Aaron Murray said. I'm not sure if you saw this, but this just kind of carried into the following day because Paul Feinbaum.
Wait, real quick.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you what really happened, okay? Let me get a beer here. Okay? Here's what happened. Pruitt went down there and probably banged Mark Richt's wife, okay? Things got a little sideways after that, and that's understandable. Realized that Georgia was soft. Mark didn't like that. He wanted a finesse team. Pruitt wants a strong team. And divided the locker room, and coach punched somebody. So, you know, that's probably what happened in Tennessee Vols' perception. I think that's how it played out. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So things just really got out of hand in the morning. The best was Paul Feinbaum kind of, he really tore Aaron Murray a new asshole. He just basically said, you know, Butch Jones was a joke. These comments on Pruitt are a joke. And once again, I'm going to try to play this clip. Let's see if this works. We got some mixed results last time. I'll see what happens here.
A year ago, Butch Jones was disingenuous, thin-skinned, he was a pathetic carny barker, and he's now gone, and Tennessee fans want to see a real coach up there, and they have a real coach, and they also have a real athletic director, the man who should have been hired in the first place, who was passed over in spite of everything Philip Fulmer has done for this university. I think for the first time in a long time, the University of Tennessee is back on the right track.
Oh, man, Paul, you my man. A little bit of that orange is bleeding through on that one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I actually, that was not the right clip that I was trying to play.
Well, I saw that one earlier, and I mean, he said what everybody's thinking, you know, the more that this kept snowballing, mm-hmm. you know, we're over Butch Jones. We're happy we got a good coach. We don't care about what he did several years ago back with Mark Richt, you know, but they're making it, I guess they're just looking for a story. But I've never liked David Pollack. He just annoys me. Every time I see him on game day, they could do better. Bring Tebow up from the leagues, you know, pay him some money and get him out of baseball.
And I don't know if you saw this. Let me try to track down this tweet real quick. But back in December, as soon as Jeremy Pruitt was hired at Tennessee, did you see that David Pollack responded to that?
No, what did it say?
So keep in mind, this is back in December, right after Pruitt got hired. I can't find it. Basically, he just said, you know, what an incredible hire that is, and Tennessee's got a tough-minded defensive coach, and all they have to worry about is hiring the right offensive coordinator, and they'll be set. So it's interesting that Pollack, that was his immediate reaction. And now, years down the road, he's looking back at this hire, and he's kind of giving it mixed reviews. So, that just doesn't make sense.
Aaron Murray came out. He said something he probably shouldn't have. And, I mean, there was a lot of backlash online about his comments. And I think, you know, he came to his rescue. You know, his quarterback's butt hurts, so he wants to come out and protect him. But he looks like an idiot, especially if he's making comments like that. That, I mean, how do you go from Pruitt's the greatest hire to, you know, he's really disrespectful and he's going to have trouble talking to the president of the university?
Right. And another thing I thought was funny, Jeremy Pruitt was asked about this repeatedly today. And my favorite comment in response to Aaron Murray's comments from Jeremy Pruitt, this is what he said. My daddy gave me this advice long ago. Those folks in the stands have their opinion. Let them have it. So basically, he's not going to like lower himself to do that. And I think that's the only approach you can take when you're an SEC head coach. You really shouldn't be getting into media arguments. You know, that's for people. Well, that's for me and you to get into, and not coaches.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what. Leave it to the talking heads to discuss this, but I think it's kind of funny too. Did you see the comment he made about 15 years ago as a kindergarten teacher, and now I'm a head coach of the University of Tennessee? You don't get to be a head coach of the University of Tennessee by, you know, basically pissing people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so he kind of fired back. But I just thought it was kind of funny. Even Nick Saban got asked in the big room. The last question was about it. You know, like, what would he know what happened in Georgia? You know, he, of course, you know, Saban gave his typical answers and said he was the greatest coordinator he's ever had. But, I just thought that was kind of funny, just that's the question you want to ask Nick Saban.
Well, like we said, you know, that this is the topic that just kind of dominated the entire day. So it was very interesting. And I think, you know, one of my questions about Jeremy Pruitt when he did get hired was how he would handle days like SEC Media Days, just because we haven't seen him do it. Obviously, we know what he can do recruiting. We know what he can do as a defensive coach. How can he handle a program? And I still think Jimbo Fisher was the guy that I've been most impressed with this entire SEC Media Days. But I think I'd have to put Jeremy Pruitt right there, right behind him, because he just kind of blew me away with just his presence. And I don't want to call him
folk. Like he belonged.
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't even say he folksy is probably not the right word, but you know, he kind of opened up a little bit. He was joke. I don't know if you saw he had the joke about. He drove Kirby Smart's pregnant wife to the hospital, and
yeah.
So I mean, he let his personality open up a little bit, but not in so much to obviously, you know, get rival programs mad at him or anything. So I thought it was a perfect day for Jeremy Pruitt. What do you think?
Well, we talked about it yesterday. We wanted to see Coach come up and be authentic, and I think he nailed it. I think he not only sounded like a coach that's been there for 10 years, you know, he sounded real. He didn't, you know, there wasn't a lot of coach speak, you know. It was just, it was from the heart, you know. He I was worried that he was going to say I like 15 times, but he didn't. I don't even think he used it once, you know. So there's no sound clips that are going to come from that presser that are going to come back and bite us in you know, later in life. So I thought he did great. I did. I would say I like him second. Jimbo third right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach O, you know, he's still got a special place in my heart. So I mean, he won me over. So I think I'd go Coach O, Jimbo, or Pruitt and Jimbo. And Jimbo, man, I don't know. I don't know if they drug test coaches, but, you know, I would definitely, if you were to say, okay, which coach in the SEC is most likely going to fail a drug test, I would probably say Jimbo, and then, I don't know, maybe Muschamp, and then Coach O. That's the order I'd go of failing a drug test.
Well, are we counting like PEDs? Because I think if we did, I think I'd definitely go with Will Muschamp, because he can lose it on the sidelines. He acts like he's on something.
I love,
you know,
it. When those damn eyes cross, man, they need to have a cameraman just pointing right at him nonstop. Because, you know, we used to have what's his name with the visor, Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, and now we got Muschamp over there. So South Carolina, I think they love to get them fired up coaches.
And, you know, I think what was lost in Tennessee's trip to SEC Media Days, the best news of all came from Jeremy Pruitt as soon as he arrived. He, according to Tennessee's coach, Trey Smith, will be available for fall camp. So, I mean, that's huge for Tennessee. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a couple – I really didn't think we were going to get an answer on him, and it was quick. It was as soon as he got down there, it was like Trey's going to play. What's his name? What's the linebacker's name that had problem with his grades?
Oh, J.J. Peterson.
Yeah, J.J. Peterson's going to be there, and he squashed a little bit of the comments that Aaron Murray made. So I mean, the three or four things that I wanted to hear, other than who's going to be your starting quarterback,
mm-hmm.
you know, he knocked it out pretty early. So I love that, you know, because if you go from him and then you go to Nick Saban, which gives you the same boring ass answers, you know, it was kind of a fresh breath of fresh air. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. Now, of course, Nick Saban, he's usually the biggest personality in the room there at SEC Media Days. He still loomed over large, but he didn't really say anything too, too big today. He did his best to squash the quarterback rumors immediately. In his opening monologue, he even said, basically, don't ask me about the quarterback competition because nothing's changed. So, of course, the first question he got, since he wasn't allowed to be asked about quarterbacks, was how long until he retires. And I thought it was pretty clever what he said. He said his wife, Miss Terry, doesn't want me at home, so he's just going to keep on doing it.
I don't blame her. I mean, he's a stick in the mud. He came down there. I mean, that was his press conference was, hey, if any recruits are watching, I put a lot of people in the NFL. This is how many people are in the NFL. So it was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you know, don't fucking ask me about the quarterback because I'm not going to give you an answer. And so you could kind of feel the audience scramble a little bit for questions.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught this one, but someone in the audience asked him, you know, because they can't ask him about the competition, they got a little creative with it, and they asked, you know, 47 days away from the starting game, will Jalen Hurts be on your roster? You know, indicating, I guess, that he'd lose the battle and transfer. And I think Saban said, how the hell would I know that, you know? So, I mean, what's he supposed to say, you know?
Exactly. Even the boat question, you know, when I heard that guy asking about the boat, I was like, man, this can be really ugly or it could be funny, you know, and it hurt him. It hurt him to try to smile, you know. He was going to make a joke about it, but then he was like, no, it was the fuel pump went out, and I love these boats, so they must be giving him a boat every year or something.
And, of course, Mississippi State head coach Joe Moorhead, he made his first appearance at SEC Media Days. I thought he came
out. Who's that?
Joe Moorhead.
Just kidding. I mean, it was all Pruitt and Saban. So these other two. I did hear a couple of bits about him, but, yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Just one comment really stood out to me. Obviously, he's not backed down from any of the high expectations that Mississippi State has heading into the season. But one question he was asked, you know, basically, can he do better than Dan Mullen, essentially, was what he was asked. And he said, hey, Dan Mullen only had one winning season in SEC play. So, you know, that to me, he's kind of insinuating that while Dan Mullen gets a ton of credit for what a great coach he is, Joe Moorhead is pumping the brakes on that, saying, you know, he's there for 9 years. He had one winning season. I mean, that's a pretty bold take.
Golly, boy, yeah. So he's basically saying, pump the brakes. He only had one winning season in SEC. Is that what he said?
Yeah, in nine years.
Ah, boy. And that kind of sucks, you know, because they really got the talent this year. You know, I guess he wants to take the credit for if they do have a good run in the West. That's what that maybe sounds like.
Yeah, and if they do have a big year, I mean, I think he'll be due some credit, don't you?
Without a doubt, yeah. If he can win first or second place in the West, then that's all him. I mean, the talent is there, yes, but he's implementing a whole new system, you know, getting these guys to buy in again. And, yeah, I mean, it's not the easiest schedule in the world, but if he makes a good run at it and he's competitive in the West, I think he should deserve the credit.
So, you know, we'll keep this one short, but did you have any closing thoughts, anything we didn't touch on Tennessee that just from this media days that you took away from?
No, I was, like I said, I was really impressed with Pruitt down there. I thought he handled it great. And I don't know, I kind of like the media fighting back and forth for Tennessee, you know, because last few years we've been a laughing stock for them. So I think they're even tired of people making fun of Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think Pruitt, you know, while some people, not many, but some people kind of question, you know, his spring game commentary about the, you know, not enough fans showing up. I think I could see that may have created a small fraction of division. And I think this SEC Media Days kind of brought everyone back together, rallied back to the Tennessee base, because it just seemed like everybody was out against Georgia after all these, after the comments here at SEC Media Days. So that, again, that was another big win for Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, yeah, and I thought it was pretty neat too. I mean, Pruitt hasn't been here long, and you know, he made the comment about the new weight room, the new practice field. I mean, it's a positive for both fans, because the boosters are in. You know, they're giving him whatever he wants. You know, I'm sure Phil Fulmer has a lot to do with that. But I just thought it was kind of exciting, you know, that he just didn't come in here and he's already making changes, big changes. He's trying to impress these recruits when they come in. Cause you know, you want to be the biggest and best when, you're trying to show off your university.
Oh, one other note from SEC Media Days I wanted to get your thought on. Gene Chizik, the SEC network analyst, of course, former Auburn coach, he made some interesting comments on the quarterback competition there at Tennessee. And here's what Gene Chizik said about Jarrett Garantano. I know this. Word coming out of Knoxville right now, Garantano does have the locker room. Those kids really like him. They trust him, and they believe in him. That's my word out of Knoxville. The kids feel like they can win with him. So, you know, I think that's a good indication for Garantano. Do you think Chris still has a chance to win the job after hearing those comments?
You know, that's interesting, because, you know, Pruitt says it's a four-man race, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't counted out McBride and what's his name? What's the other kid's name?
JT Schrout.
Yeah, the young kid. So, I mean, the fact that he didn't come out and say, you know, hey, I've got two veterans here going back and forth. I mean, I know he's young, and JG only played, you know, 1 year. But, I mean, he's considered a veteran,
mm-hmm.
You know, with the other players. So, I think that was kind of a tale. Like, I want to buy in to Garantano, but, again, Pruitt didn't. That's one thing he left kind of vague, you know. So – but if he does, I mean, I'm telling you, if you've got a quarterback that does have the presence, does have the team behind him, you know, it creates momentum, and it, you know, it's kind of like Madden. You know, you may be an 88 overall, but you may get your buddy to 91 if they buy into what you're preaching, you know.
Yeah, and I also think that just based on who Jeremy Pruitt is, what he's trying to instill in this program, he's not going to just hand the job to anybody. You know, I think they're going to have to earn it every single day in fall camp. And, you know, if they have any kind of mental or physical breakdown at fall camp, he knows, obviously, he can't trust them on the field when it matters. So even if Garantano does have a lead on Chris at this time, I'm sure they're going to put them through, you know, tons and tons of mental hurdles, physical hurdles, and just let the best man come out. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt would have it any other way.
Right. Now, I didn't hear a lot from the Tennessee players, Eli and them. Did you get anything from them, or any? Let's just say any of the players, because there was some studs in that room. Was there anything that stood out to you?
No, because I think I wouldn't say they've been coached. It was pretty clear last year Butch Jones had coached up his players. They basically hit the same talking points and had the same reaction to every question. These guys did not. However, they didn't really reveal anything. I think they are kind of told, for things such as the quarterback competition, you know, that's going to be left up to the coaches and get on board with it. That was the message I got. And I think that's the right message, because obviously every coach is new to this staff, and I think at this point their decisions can't be questioned by the players, because once you start having that, you kind of see what happened to Tennessee last year. And I think, you know, basically they just let them know it's our way or the highway, and that's what I got from the players today.
I got you. Now, who do we got tomorrow?
Tomorrow, the final day of SEC Media Days, we got Auburn, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Everyone's excited about Vanderbilt.
Mason, is he closing it up?
No, it'll be Will Muschamp. I don't know what it is, but it seems like Gus Malzahn and Will Muschamp close it every year for some reason.
Because they know people would be packing up if Mason was talking. There'd be four people in the damn audience. Be like a home game. Oh, shit.
Well, that's a good note to go out on. So, Shane, thanks for joining me once again. Thanks for everyone out there listening. And hopefully we'll have one coming up the next few days.
Oh, hey, real quick. It doesn't take but a second, but the subscribe and like really goes a long way. And we appreciate, if you've listened to it to this point, might as well throw a 5-star on there.
5-star hearts for us, baby.
Go Vols.